body to the Lord in the next little bit, like today. I can think of a lot of people I love to see in church and right with God. Time's running out. Never give up on them. Don't ever give up on them. The Lord never gives up, so we don't need to give up. I don't care how low down they get. The Lord can turn them around. Can't he? Just go home, look in a mirror. See what I mean? He can turn you around, buddy. Amen. All right, I want to talk to you out of the book of Matthew this morning. The last part of this Sermon on the Mount. And I want to go and talk to you about fruit this morning. Amen. I want to begin reading with verse 15 of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Amen. How many say amen to loving the Word of God this morning? Do you read it more than you read anything else? Oh, am I asking too many questions? Amen. We really ought to, really. We ought to meditate on that. How many knows that the Scriptures, not only should we read the Scriptures, we ought to put them to memory if we can at all. I mean, our memory. I know when you get a lot on there, buddy, you'll deprogram, and you'll have little blank spells. But I believe you put that Bible in there. The psalmist said, "I have hid thy word in my heart. I've hid it. It's under. It might be hid under some stuff in there, but it's hid in my heart. I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God." Now, if we don't have the Bible in us, then we're probably sinning somewhere along the way. Amen. But if we'll hide that Bible in our heart, he said, "Thy word is a lamp and a light." Amen. And in this dark, wicked old world, there's folks right here under the sound of my voice this morning that has darkness that crept in them. Amen, that this good word of God would dispel that darkness. If they could just believe it and lay hold on it. Amen. All right, I'm going to go to the 15th verse and very, very important text here this morning. And I got a little clock over here. I got a little cell clock here right here. Tell me, I got 15 minutes till the normal quitting time. But sometimes we work a little overtime, don't we, huh? Somebody say amen. So here we go. Look at this right here. Verse 15. Everybody's there, say amen if you're out there looking at it. Beware. Everybody knows what that means. Beware. You ever go into a yard, it has a sign, beware of something? Like a beware of dog. You know, when they say that, I'll take them serious. Huh? I remember taking a walk one day, and this guy had a little dog. And I'd heard Brother L.D. Moore tell about this, and I just laughed at it. I was walking out there, and that dog run out of that yard, latched right onto me. I mean, put his teeth in me, in my leg. I mean, just munched down like a dog bone. And you know what the guy on the porch said? Ah, he won't bite you. That's the very words he said while the dog was in the process of biting me. Now, brother, somebody is deceived there somewhere or another. Huh? I had to shake the little rascal off of me. And the guy saying he won't bother you. But, you know, the Bible says beware. And if the Bible says beware, then I'm going to beware. How about you? Now, we're in this. We got to make this. We can't afford to lose out in this. We've got to make heaven our home. And so, what does he say beware of? Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets. Now, everybody knows what a prophet is, don't they? That's somebody that foretells and tells forth. It's a preacher or some, that not only tells the future but proclaims Amen. A prophet not only prophesies future things, but he tells current things too, as God gives him the spirit of prophecy. And so God put a whole lot of premium on prophets and preachers. I mean, God loves it. He called them. But there's a certain thing called false. How many understands false? When it's not false prophet, would not really be a prophet at all, would he? Might look like a prophet, act like a prophet, and claim to be a prophet. But he could be false. And so the Bible says for us to beware of that. And brother, I'll tell you, in a day that we live in, it would pay us to beware. All right, now let's look at what it says about false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, a false prophet, now the first, who would be the first false prophet you can think of in the Bible? Anybody think of the first one? It was the devil. The devil in the Garden of Eden, when God had said, in the day you eat of this tree, you shall surely die, the devil says, yea, ye shall not surely die. Well, who's true and who's a liar in this setting? Huh? Well, God said, the day. Now, I want you to notice what God said. God said you can eat of all the trees in the garden. Now, brother, I've heard people say you live a Christian life, you can't do nothing. Now, that ain't true, is it? We're doing something right now. It's just you can't do nothing wicked. But you can do a lot of things. And, you know, there were a lot of trees in that garden. And God forbid only one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, the day you eat this, you're going to die. And the devil was the first original false prophet. He stood up and said, ye shall not. Now, you ought to beware of false prophets. And they come to you. Notice how the devil came. He was the most subtle creature in all the garden, or the Satan, the serpent was. And that's where the devil went, in the sneakiest, sweetest thing in the whole garden. I don't know if he crawled on his belly then. Probably not. Maybe. I don't know how he done it. But he went in and told Adam and Eve, what God said, what God told Adam, is not the truth. Now, do y'all know any false prophets? Y'all didn't even blink. You're frozen on me this morning. Why don't you just go ahead and say, yeah, I know a few dozen. Huh? A false prophet is somebody that takes what God said and says, that don't mean that. God didn't say that. That's not the way it is. I know thousands of them. And you know what? They come in sheep's clothing. I like what one old preacher said. He said, you know, even though a wolf may wear sheep's clothes, if you watch his track, it's a wolf track. Huh? Now, what's that mean? You watch their life. You watch how they live. Huh? I'll tell you what, if it's somebody claiming to be a prophet and he don't live right, he ain't no prophet. He ain't no prophet. I wish the church would say, man. Now, I'm kind of glad we just got 15 minutes. I don't think y'all could take 20 minutes of this morning. Huh? But I'm going to tell you, how important is it? Notice now, whoo, feel the Holy Ghost on me now. Amen, because this is really important. Amen, because your doctrine and what you believe, if you don't believe the truth, you can't be free. It's the truth that sets you free. Beware of the prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But what are the inside? Inside. What are the inside? Amen. And you know, and there is a group of false prophets that one of their main themes is love. But just because somebody says the word love, that don't mean there's love in their heart. Oh, come on now. When you watch how they live, you say, well, you ought not watch people's lives. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Because I'm getting ready to read to you right here about the fruit and how that we judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. And I'm a simple man. And I know what you're thinking, simple-minded. Yes, I am. I'm a very simple man. when it comes to my eternal soul, I don't want something so hard like trigonometry that I've got to try to cipher out and figure out and go to college to figure out if I've got it or not. I've got to have something a little simpler than that. Amen. Like black and white. I mean, like this is the way it is. Like right here, it's revealed. And brother, that's what Jesus Christ came to the earth, amen, to reveal the mysteries of God. He was God in the flesh. Amen. If you want to know what God is like, Jesus said, you want to know what God the Father is like? Just look at me. I am the incarnate God, a God walking around in flesh and bone. Here it is right here. Amen. And that opened up people's eyes. Amen. But even in Jesus' day, they were people that were false prophets. And I want to tell you, if somebody won't tell you the truth, they're not right with God. Now you say you're being judgmental. Well, go ahead and call me whatever you want to. But if somebody will not tell you the truth about eternal things especially, amen, what are they inwardly? Inwardly, what are they? What does the Bible say they were? Ravening wolves. Now, brother, I don't want to fool with a ravening wolf. I want you to picture this. You feel this? Man, I'm feeling this. I want you to picture this. Outwardly, they have sheep's. Now, a sheep is the humblest thing I've ever seen in my life. I remember just a boy going to sheep shear. You go to shearing them sheep, they just lay right over. Anybody ever shear sheep? Huh? They don't kick you and bite at you. Has anybody ever had a sheep bite you? Now, if somebody raises your hand, you just run my whole sermon. But I've never known it. Sheep, just bad, humble, meek. And you know, God picked sheep to compare to his flock, to his people. His people, they're like sheep. We are like sheep that have gone astray. We need a shepherd. We're vulnerable. We're weak. Well, this false prophet, amen, came to the Lord, came to these people with a sheep's coat on. Come on now, church. Came with a sheep's garment on, amen, and inside. You know, we need the gift of discerning the spirit. Did you know that? How many knows we need the gift of discerning the spirits? How many knows that you know everything that puts on a coat, carries a Bible under their arm, is not a prophet? So what makes a prophet is what he's got on the inside of him. He cannot be inside of the ravening wolf. Now you take somebody, amen, that'll get up and fill a pulpit or fill a church or get on the television and act like a prophet or on the radio and act like they're telling the truth and leading people to not believe the right thing and leading people not to believe the truth of the Bible. Brother, inwardly, outwardly, they may be all butter and honey and love and pet on you. And you know, that is, brother, the dangerous thing about a false prophet. Amen. Their words are like butter. And you know, if we're not careful, you know how we like to be petted on. Patted on. Oh, yeah, you're not helping me this morning. But if somebody says, oh, you're the greatest, you just feel like saying, well, you are too. You know, felt pretty good. Oh, you're a wonderful person. You just feel like saying, well, they can't be all bad if they got enough sense to know I'm a wonderful person. Huh? I know you wouldn't love this. I've been carrying this around for 2 or 3 weeks. It's time to get down to the nitty gritty. And here's what Jesus said. He said, beware of these false prophets. I want you to mark them. I want you to stay out. You ought to put a sign up in your yard, beware of false prophets. Just kidding. But I'm telling you, they're just that ravenous. If you had a wild dog, a pit bull, or some kind of wild animal, and you knew that he's going to tear some little kid's face half off, amen, I think you'd chain him up and put a sign. And I'm going to tell you something, amen, people tell us not to mention anything about these false prophets, but if they're going to get in our people's lives and rip them out and send them to hell, I think we ought to say, watch that right there. So he said, he has sheep's clothing on. Now look at this right here. Verse 16, I think this goes with beware. It goes, it's right here, it goes, ye shall know them. Y'all with me? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Oh, but brother, you just don't understand. I seen them lay hands on somebody and they got better. Wait a minute now. What kind of fruit do they bear? Oh, but I've seen miracles at their hand. Huh? What about them? What about Moses when he throwed his staff down and those witches threw their staff down? What happened to both of them? Probably quiet in here. Well, what happened to them? Both of the staffs turned into a serpent. The devil can do miracles too. Huh? Hey, and you track that long enough, and you watch even in our country, big-time revivals has went on and come to find out the preacher was guilty of fraud and spent several years in the prison. Amen. Right in our country. And it wasn't 20 years ago either. But I thought somebody said that, hey, you go back to the fruit they bear. Don't go by how good they can juggle. Go by the fruit in their life. Do they have the fruit of the Bible in their life? He says, you can't go to thorns. You're not going to go to a thorny ground, a thistle, and get grapes and figs off of a thistle. Amen. Does that make... Now, I'm a simple man, and that's pretty simple. Amen. Yeah, every preacher that preaches the gospel will live a righteous life. And if they don't live a righteous life, they're not a preacher. Is that pretty simple? You know, you men know. Y'all know. You go. I've run into it myself. You get on a job. You got some of those false teachers that profess to be preachers and always inviting people to church, and then they get out there telling jokes and stuff, and they can tell them with the best of them. Now, how many's ever seen a preacher like I have? Now, what does that do for your witness? Now, I know you're not with them, but I mean, I remember when Jimmy Swaggart fell, and I guess he fell or was found out or whatever, what you want to say. I went into Lowe's up there. I was building a house, and I went up there, and I hadn't even heard nothing about it. And he went up there, and an old guy at the counter said, "Well, I heard about your buddy today." And I was thinking, you know, one of my buddies. And I said, "What?" "Yeah, I heard about your old buddy running around with women." I said, "Oh, my Lord, who?" "Jimmy Swaggart." "Jimmy Swaggart's not my buddy." You know, they just label everybody. That's how pitiful it is. And, you know, I just drove through Texas this week, and, you know, he's still on there. He's Baton Rouge. He seals things pretty good. Quiet in here. You say, "Well, you're not be judgmental." I understand what that scripture being judgmental. You can't really, you know, somebody acts away. You can't really make a judgment if you've got something in your own life and criticize someone else for doing the same thing you're doing. But brother, God told us to track these wolves in sheep's clothing, and He told us to look at the fruit they bear, and they're going to bear grapes and figs. And it's going to be a vineyard, a grape vineyard, and a fig tree. It's not going to be thorns and thistles. Is that clear? Is that a clear, church? Is that clear? Are you ready for the test on this? Does everybody get this little lesson? Without exception. Do you know what the Old Testament said that a prophet, how you could tell when a prophet was not a prophet? When he missed it one time. Not two out of three, but when he missed it one time, he was a false prophet. Huh? Ain't that right? Praise God. All right. So, here we go. Amen. He says, beware of these prophets, false prophets, these wolves in sheep's clothing. You shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17, I'm going to close. Even so, look at this. Here's the positive side of this message. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Amen. Amen. I've known preachers that had lost it, got crooked, and this may knock you plumb in the creek. We're just about done here. I wanted to preach long enough to give Sister Lois time to count all this big old gob of money we got in here. Huh? Oh, okay. But this preacher had went crooked. And I mean bad things he was doing, sinful things. But nobody found it out. There was a few suspicions, but nothing anybody could just step right out. And I'm telling you, the guy would hit the pulpit and preach better than ever. Y'all, did he say amen? I hope he did, huh? Kate, are you helping me preach, buddy? Huh? Listen, do y'all believe that could happen? It did happen. It does happen. You say, well, how can a guy preach and him doing wicked things? Well, I mean, after you're in it so long, you've had enough practice and you know enough of the scripture. And I mean, it don't even take a whole lot of the anointing to say, "Whoa, that's right." And I've had people when they found it out and come find out for a year they'd been on drugs and fooling around women and been lying and been evil and awful, and people say, "Well, man, he preached for so and so. Don't he have no discernment?" You know. And they think, who can you trust? They'll say, well, that's not a hard question, is it? Who can you trust? You can trust the Son of God, can't you? And you can put confidence in good people that bear good fruit. Oh, you say, but what about this fellow? Well, did his fruit not come out after a while? Did it not? Huh? Oh, yeah. You'll tell. When the season comes, and that good tree, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. I guarantee you, if you could attract that fella, if you could have went where he went, brother, it wouldn't have been hard to tell this man's lost his place with God. Amen. And I'll tell you you got to beware. Now look, we as children of God. Now the Bible says charity believeth all things. Now what that is that don't mean that you're just gullible and it'll take any bill of goods. And just because it says church in a steeple, that the truth is being preached. Brother, there's been hypocrites and false teachers ever since the devil in the Garden of Eden. And he can get in people. And I really believe that hell has enlarged itself beyond measure. And I'll guarantee you the most people in hell will be religious people. They'll have had some kind of religion in their heart that they were leaning upon. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to just trust in a religion. Is that the right way to put it? I want to trust in the pure religion, the undefiled religion upon Jesus Christ. Now, this attitude, as long as somebody's got some religion, it can be that mystical Eastern religion. That is satanic is what that is. Or Buddhism. No, Buddha never died for your sins. Muhammad was a wicked man. He was. He was a vile man. He didn't die for your sins. There was only one died for your sins. What's his name? Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, every false doctrine will be clothed in this sheep's garment of just like the devil. Oh, no. No, that's not right. You shall not die. Was he right? No, he was wrong. They did die. They died spiritually, immediately, and then physically, they died in the process of time. Now, you preach like this, like I preached this morning, and you'll have people say, well, you think you're the only one right. And that is so far out. I, without Christ, am not even right at all. He is right. Huh? He is right. And the way is so simple that though a fool should not err therein. I'll tell you what complicates things is when we're wanting some other way than his way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof. So we've got to have discernment. If you don't pray, now look, you cannot hardly depend on just coming to church and sitting here and me, the preacher, or these teachers, or whoever's preaching, that is going to just keep you from being deceived. If you don't pray yourself and love God's word, in the last days, and I'm done, but in the last days when the Antichrist spirit rises up, the Bible will say that men shall believe a lie and be damned. And the reason they believe a lie is because they loved not the truth. So if you don't love, you've got to love the truth. Now here's what I appreciate in these mountains. I admit I don't know the people. I've been preaching in here for years. And I love the people in this country. I really do. As I was coming up as a boy preacher preaching, I met a lot of people. Now I'm not appreciate the fact they don't live just right, but they believe right. How many understands what I'm saying? They and right now, today, this old charismatic, sissified, limp-wristed, compromising religion, 99% of the people, lost people in this country, ain't buying that. They know better than that. They had an old praying mama, an old praying daddy. They've heard these old-time preachers shuck it down. They know what the Bible says. And they're not going to take this little new international version of watered down. They're not going to take that because they've done had the real thing. And I appreciate that. Amen. Because there's hope for you if you'll believe the truth. And I believe we can have revival. And it is a trial when you're working and trying and some big charismatic thing or some loose thing goes up and they fill it up and have two or three services on Sunday and just brag about how many's coming. But I'm going to tell you something. If they're not telling them the truth, they're making them a twofold child of hell. Now, I believe we can have revival right here. And I really don't believe that what hinders us is preaching holiness. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that hinders us. I believe we just need a greater burden. We need to get a greater witness. And the main thing to soul winning is praying in that prayer closet and asking God to deal with sinners and send them into our church. How many believes that? I believe that's the main thing. Amen. Let's stand. I love you. God bless you. Thank you.